when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he's writing so that they would understand their place in Christ. He's writing so that they would understand who Jesus is, what he's done, and in relation to him, who he should be in their life. Amen. Paul tells us about the gospel. He opens up and talks about how he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul, pretty much when I read this, I always say it's Paul's gospel. Amen. It, just like Mark, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has a gospel, I think this is Paul's gospel. It's the gospel according to Paul the apostle. Amen. But later on, we find in chapter 5, he talks about, the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. And then in chapter 7, he goes on to talk about this war that's going on in our members. Amen. He's talking about warfare. He's talking about when I think to do good, evil is present. He said the things I would do, I don't do. The things I should do, I don't know how to do them because of the flesh that I'm in. I have so much going on inside of me. And I found out that there's another law that when I think to do good, evil is present. And he goes on to talk about that. And so. He gets over into chapter 8, and he says in chapter 8, he begins to encourage them that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Spirit. And so Paul is suggesting, in all of that he said, he's suggesting that we need to stop trying to fight this battle in our flesh. He's telling us in chapter 8, that in 7 and 8, that our carnal mind, that it is enmity against God. That even if I think in my carnality, I can't win the battle, because the battle is not physical. The battle is spiritual. Yeah. Last week we talked about how the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And I don't know about you, but there are some things that hold you strongly. Some things that keep you, as the children say, keeping you from being great. It's some things that's holding you back from achieving, some things that's holding you back from developing or getting to a certain destiny that you feel that God wants you to be at. And so you have to get to a place in your mind to say, I'm not fighting this in the natural. I'm fighting this spiritually, and I'm going to do the things that I'm supposed to do. The first thing we got to do is get our mind right. Amen. Because the battlefield is our mind, and we can't keep carnal thinking. We can't continue in carnal ways and think that we're going to continue to win. You know, if I was a track star, I can't be a track star and eat like I eat. Just being honest with you. I mean, I could have back then, but nowadays, I eat too many sweets. I don't exercise enough. And so if I don't do the right things, I can't win a race against nobody. Amen. You can put a four-year-old in front of me, and he probably can run longer than I can. Just saying. So if I want to make a difference in who I am to be able to win the race, I have to start disciplining myself, and I have to start doing some things that causes me to be different in my endurance and in my stamina. Amen. And so the reason I'm talking about this and the reason I believe God has given us this week after week is because there is a whole lot of things that we're battling, but we don't know how to battle properly. There's a whole lot of things that we are going up against, and a whole lot of conflict that comes in our life, but we don't understand the conflict, and we don't understand. If we don't understand the rules of engagement, we can't get in this battle and fight and win. Amen? Amen. Now, the first thing I want to say before I even go further is that the battle already is won in Christ, but if we don't fight in Christ, we lose. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So Paul is them. He says, don't even get condemned here. Know that you're greater than what you think you are. Amen. Because God says, if you walk in the spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you'll be all right. Amen. So, and he goes on to talk about how the creature is subject to vanity. Paul goes on to talk even about how we don't even know what we ought to pray for. He said, you think you're going to battle this in prayer by your repetitious prayer, or because you know how to call out a prayer, or because you got a good rhythm when you pray? Amen. Paul said, no, that's not going to do it. He said, you don't know what to pray for, so the Spirit of God maketh what? Intercession for us according to the will of God. Now, we don't know how to pray for God's will because sometimes our will get in the way of God's will. What we think gets in the way of what God thinks. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. I thought I was going to do this. I thought I was going to do that, but I'm ended up here. Come on and say amen. I thought I was going to be living somewhere else when I got grown, but I ended up here. Come on and say amen. You don't know. God's ways is not our ways. As far as the heaven is from the earth is our ways from God's ways. So when we think about that, I know you had a whole bunch of plans, but the Bible said many are the plans or the devices of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's will that shall be done. Amen. His counsel, his will. And so we need the Lord's will to be done in our life. And that's why we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Amen. And so he goes on to tell us how the Spirit helped with our infirmities. The Spirit helps with our infirmities. Those things that diseases us. Those things that put us in a place of frustration and hurt and that causes us not to be at peace. Those things that get in our way. Those infirmities. Those things that kind of make us sick spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever. Those things that make us sick, get us off path. He says that the Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. And then he goes on to encourage us in the same chapter. This is a great chapter to read. I wish you all would read it. He goes on to tell us, he says that all things work together. All things. Now, and that means the good and the bad. That means the high keys on the keyboard and the low keys on the keyboard. Amen. That means the ups and the downs, the lies, the truth, the whatever goes to work for the good, but not for everybody. He said for the good of them that what? Do you love him today? The good to them that love God. And we have to understand that loving God means that I dedicate myself to the one I love. You don't want somebody to say they love you and then they treat you any kind of way. You say that don't really mean you love me, right? You don't want somebody to have no dedication to you, just call you up and say, you know, I love you. And they call you when they need something. You know, they call you, they come by when they need something. And they say, you know, I love you, right? And you give them whatever they need. How many times can they come to you with that same thing and you decide to your say they don't really love me, they just want to use me, huh? So think about this. We sometimes want to use God. We don't want to love him. Amen. What if he don't give you nothing else? Can you have the same testimony our elders had that said that if he don't do anything else for me, he's already done enough? That's why David said, I got everything. I'm the king. David said, I'm the king. I got access to whatever I want. I even took another man's wife because I wanted her. But then he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Just being saved, just being in God. Lord have mercy. But we want stuff. God, give me things. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. He said, I give you things. I want you to prosper. But he still wants us to love him first. Amen. Amen? Amen. So he goes on. He talks about this and he says that we have these infirmities, but we have intercession. And he says that those things work together for our good according to God's purpose. When you realize God is a God of purpose, he don't do things for nothing. Okay. Nothing happens for no reason at all. But all things work together for a purpose that God has for your life. And when you realize that God has a purpose for God, that when he created everything, the stars, the moon, the sun, he couldn't let a man come first, because if man would have came first, he would have froze to death because there was no sun to give him heat. Man couldn't have come first because if he would have came first and was nothing to eat, no trees, no vegetation, he would have nothing to eat and he would have starved to death. So God put everything here in purpose and time so that he could prepare everything here for man. He didn't even let it rain on the earth. He didn't let the mist come up out of the ground until the man showed up, and then he watered the earth from the ground up. It was in the earth. Amen? All right, let me go on. So he says now, he goes on to talk about being foreknown of God. He said who he foreknew, he what? Predestined. Amen? He said that first, let me go back. Verse 29, he said, for who he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be pressed into the image of his son, to be conformed into the image of his son. The word image is the word icon, to look like an icon, to look like his son. He wants us to look like Jesus. He said into the image of his what? Son. So when he says that, he's letting us know that we, in our situation that we come up against, in our conflict and in our cross and in our crucifixions, he expects us to look like Christ. Amen. So whenever I go through my hardest time, I need to look like Jesus. Amen. So what did Jesus look like? He was beat up, but he still said, Father, forgive them. Lord, have mercy here. For they know not what they do. Yeah, he was bleeding to death. But guess what? He still said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He didn't go crazy on the cross. He didn't even speak back while they were beating him. One man told me, he said, don't you know I got the power to let you go? He said, you wouldn't have it except it came from above. He answered, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. You're going to treat me like this because this is your kingdom. But my kingdom is not from here. And when you realize your citizenship is in heaven, the things that we see going on in the world, the conflicts that we get in this worldly system, we got to realize that this is not just our battle. The battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord because he is the King of Kings. He'll conquer all. Amen. So while we're on this conquest, God intends for us to conquer. He don't intend for us to be beaten. He don't intend for us to be defeated. We're going to have some battles that you're going to feel some pain. But that don't mean that you're lost. We cry before we even see the victory. You can't be crying and fighting at the same time. You got to say, look, I'll cry later. But now I got to fight. Huh? You know, when we were young, we used to talk about tactics on how to fight. And they would always say, you know, if somebody get too close to you, you just headbutt them in the nose, because if their eyes closed, they can't see. And if their eyes water up, they can't fight you because they can't see who to hit. So you don't have time to be crying with the fight that we're in. Oh, Lord, have mercy here. Come on, tell somebody, dry your eyes. There's a season for everything. Today is not the season for crying. It's the season for battle. It's the season for fighting. It's the season to put your dukes up. It's the season to get your sword. It's the season to slay the devil. The Bible said that we ought to resist the devil and he will flee. He didn't say cry in front of the devil. He said resist him. Let him know you don't have no power here. Let him know that I'm a child of God. And oh, if you mess with me, God is going to handle you. Let him know that I already got the victory in Christ Jesus. Let him know it. Don't stand weakly, but stand strongly. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do I have anybody here? I just want you to understand that this is a conquest, but we're going to be conquerors in this thing. We're going to be conquerors. We're not going to be victims. We're going to be victors and victimizers. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's get into it now. Let's get into the text. He said, moreover. When you look at that word, moreover, that's suggesting, it's conjoining something. It's saying that all of that. He said, and if he was talking in our language, he said, on top of that. On top of what I just told you, on top of that, he said, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He was saying, look, you need to stop letting your mind tell you something that ain't true. He said, God already called you. He's justified you. He said, you can't change that and neither can anybody else. Now, when you realize that ain't nobody can change this, ain't nobody can do anything about what God has done for me, you'll stop worrying about haters. You'll stop worrying about the devil changing it. The devil can't change your status. He can't change your status. He don't have your password. He can't change your status. Do you know that only God can do that? God said whom he what? He predestined. He's already predestined us. And so what was he saying? He said that it's already, the fight is already fixed. The fight is already fixed. The battle is already won because he's chosen you to win. You know, Don King was accused of fixing fights. He was accused of, I don't know if y'all know Don King. He was a boxing promoter, and he became famous for promoting the boxing world for the Thriller in Manila with Ali and Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And, you know, he became real famous. And they said, well, he it wasn't beyond him to fix a fight so he can get some, you know, a rematch so he can get some more money. You know, and basically what Don King did is what God did. He fixed the fight so that he can get a rematch to show him, I got this fixed. It ain't nothing you can do. I already chose who the winner is. I already chose who's going to be the one who's going to get the biggest payday. I've already, Lord have mercy, you're going to get the biggest payday. He said that Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He's the judge. He's the one that determines who get what. And he's already given me victory. He says that he's justified and he's glorified. It means that nothing is going to be able to take me down because the glory of God rests upon me. Paul says that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so no matter what I go through, guess what? I may suffer, but the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared. I can't compare what I'm going through to what I'm getting. I can't compare what I'm dealing with to what God has in store for me. I'm not going to even compare the trouble I've seen with the things I'm about to go through, because you don't know my story, but you're going to get to see the glory of God resting upon me. I wish I had somebody. When we start thinking about that and start talking about that, this is what I say. Let me say it in the way I want to. Here's how I say it. I say that the things that I'm going through now is not worth mentioning in the same paragraph. It's not worth mentioning in the same conversation or the same sentence as the things that God has in store for me, the glory that's going to rest upon me, the power that he's invested in me, the anointing that he's given me is now. Oh, come on and say amen. So the things that I'm going to have, the things, the glory that's going to be revealed in me, the glory of God, he's wrapped me in his glory. So whenever I fight, whenever I'm in this battle, it's really not me, but it's the spirit in me. Because James, John 1 and 4 says that he says that great is he that is what in you than he that is in the world. We need to know that the greater one lives on the what? Inside. And so it's him that's fighting. That's why he said when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the spirit of God will lift up a standard. But you too busy trying to say, Lord, let me take care of it. Let me handle it. Let me fight. I got this. But God is saying, okay, I'll sit back and wait. You know, you kind of like the man. You remember the story of the man that every time the devil came knocking at his door, he went to the door and he answered the door. The devil punched him in his left eye, and he closed the door and went back, and he was all sad, and Jesus was sitting there. He said, Jesus, I just want you to stay in your room. I got the door. So the door came, the devil came the next day, knocked on the door, and Jesus said, you want me to get that? He said, no, this is my house, Jesus. I got it. You just stay right where I put you. And he went to the door, and the devil sucked him in his right eye and blacked that eye. So then he came back the next day. Jesus said, you want me to get that door? No, I got it, Jesus. And the devil punched him in his nose. His nose is bloody now. And so every day the devil did something to him. He didn't even want to get in the house. He just wanted to make this man upset. He just wanted to beat him up and say, you got Jesus in the house with you, but I still can beat you up. And that's how it is with some of us. We got Jesus with us, but we still getting beat up by the devil. And so look what happened. The last day the devil came and the man came dragging. He was limping. And Jesus said, you want me to get that? He finally said, yeah, go ahead and get it. And so when Jesus opened the door, the devil ran away. He didn't have nothing else to do, nothing else to say. He never came back to the man's house. And so all I'm trying to tell you is that we need to stop being like that man. We need to stop looking living like him, acting like him. In other words, we need to start letting Jesus answer our door. We need, what do you mean, preacher? I need to start letting the word of God speak for me. I need to start letting the word of God, we too many times trying to answer people based on what we feel, how we think. I'm not going to answer you on how I think or what I feel today, but I'm going to give you this. I got a sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, that tells me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Do I have anybody in the house today? All right. I know y'all ready for me to get out of here. But listen, look, the conflict here. Chapter 30 in the previous verses suggests that there is an enemy. There is some conflict. There are some enemies to our lives. There are some enemies to our soul to keep us from the life of faith and a victorious living that God wants us to have. And so he says, moreover, he said, he's called us. And so he's called us, and whom he called, he also justified. And so don't worry about it. You're justified. All right. Why he opens up this chapter, he ends the previous chapter, and he opens up this chapter about condemnation, because the devil knows if you can start battling with yourself, then he ain't got to really worry about you, because you can't never get enough strength to be able to battle him anyway. So he gets you to battling with yourself, then he goes and messes with your children, and he goes messes with your family, then he goes messing with your finances, because you can't get yourself together. Preach. Tell somebody, say, get yourself together. We got to get ourselves together. We got to get our minds right. We got to get our soul and our mind, our will on one accord. We got to get our body and our spirit all on one accord so we can do the will of God. Now look at verse 31 through verse 34. We're going to talk about confidence that we should have in God. 31 says, what shall we say to these things? He's saying, what shall we say to the infirmities? What shall we say to the stuff that is coming against us, the conflict that we're in? What shall we say to these things? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, he said, look, I'm asking the question, but I'm answering also with a question. Amen. I'm asking you, what shall we say to these things? And then I'm kind of asking the question, but I'm giving you an answer in question form. Do I have any witnesses? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, what was he telling us here? He's letting us know that if God is on our side, there is nobody in hell, nobody in earth, nobody in the heavens. I wish I had somebody that can stand against us, because we have a God. Amen. Because if he's for us, and that's a good thing to understand, that God is for you. God is for your prosperity. God is for your victory. God is for you overcoming. God is for you. Amen. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? There is no one and nothing that can stand against us, because God is with us. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, we think that everybody against us, and you got to watch it, because sometimes in our minds we get paranoid, and the devil try to push all this stuff in my mind to tell me this person is against me and that person is against me. You know, when you realize that if God be for you, who can be against you? You don't worry about who's against you, because it don't matter. They are not a factor. They can't stop anything. They can't hinder. They can't alter your destiny, not one inch, if they're against you, because of the power of God that is for you. So why do we waste our energy and time even thinking about who's against us? Why we waste enemy? Oh, come on. We got an enemy. Why we waste our time on our enemy, thinking that our enemy has the power to alter? No, you have the power, because in your mind you're saying, oh, they're against me, so I'm just going to avoid them. No, God said you run straight through. You go straight to right where they are. Let them know that there ain't nothing you can do about this. And you know what frustrates the enemy more than anything? It's to know that you ain't scared. It's to know that you ain't worried about what they got to say. It's to know that you know that there ain't nothing they can do about what God has in store for you. You just let them know all things work together for the good of them that love God. I'm not worried about you. You can bring whatever you want to bring, because I know in my affliction, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. I know my Redeemer lives. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as pure gold. I'm not worried about this, because he gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. So I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God and let him exalt me in my time and season. I wish I had somebody. If it's your time, if it's your season, why worry about who's out there? Why worry about what's out there? It's my time. Can't nothing stop destiny. Do you know there is no, and I know I heard somebody say that their destiny destiny killers. There is no destiny killers, because God can make it all work for your good. Come here, Joseph. Let me borrow Joseph. Joseph had a dream that one day that he was going to be in a place where his brothers were going to bow before him. And they decided, we're going to change the destiny. We're going to sell him off. Tell daddy that he's dead. First, they wanted to kill him. And then one said, no, let's don't kill him. He's our brother. And then they took his clothes, his coat that he had to let everybody know that he was different from the rest. They took that and they put blood on it. And they took it to his dad and said, he's gone. Then they sold him into slavery. And they thought, that's the end of it. We ain't going to hear from him no more. Then when he got there, he went to Potiphar's house. His wife lied on him, and he went to jail. And it looked like it was dim and grim that he wasn't going to make the destiny. But one day, that man had a dream. The Pharaoh had a dream. And people forgot about Joseph in jail. But when that dream came about, he brought him out of the jail. And all of a sudden, here comes Joseph. Oh, yeah, it's my time now. Can't nothing stop me. It's my time to interpret dreams. It's my time to talk to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he told him what it meant. And Pharaoh said, I have never heard it like this. Joseph, would you be my minister of economics? Would you help me to get my country on track? And all of a sudden, Joseph had a plan. God gave him wisdom. And next thing you know, his brothers came and they were bowing down to him. And the dream came to pass. All I'm trying to say is that don't worry about people trying to stop your destiny. The devil can't even stop it. You stop it yourself. But the devil can't stop you. Amen. So if God said something, you better believe it. If God intended something, you better hold on to it. If God has revealed something, you need to say thank you and just move on. I wish I had somebody. You need to learn how to be grateful. Lord, I thank you that you showed me that I'm going to beat this cancer. Lord, I'm thankful that you showed me that I'll be around next year. Oh, come on and say amen. Lord, I thank you that I'm going to come through this. Oh, come on and say amen. Without a scratch, I'm going to come through this fire without being burned. I'm going to walk through this water without drowning. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, Lord, I'm thankful. Oh, yes. You got to get some confidence. God is for you. Be confident. God is for you. Says it. He that spared not his own son. Basically, he's saying that if God didn't spare his own son for us, this love that he has for us so strong, that he decided, I'm not going to spare my own son, but give him for you. Don't you think that he intended for you to make it? Amen. If God did, he gave his own son